Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here, and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to a bonus episode with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. Joining me today are Jeremy Schilling at JTShill20 and Chris Felico, saved by grace with no E in saved. How are you gents doing? I know it's been a couple days since our 10-game streak, but how are you both feeling right now?
I am so excited to have real baseball back tomorrow. So excited. Can't wait. 220, going to have it on at the office. Looking forward to seeing how they respond with the break, given that we're on a 10-game winning streak.
And Chris, what are you thinking?
I'm with Jeremy. I'm excited to see real baseball, specifically the Sox, especially with everything that is on the line. We haven't seen competitive baseball going into a second half in a while, even though last year we technically were 10 games over 500 coming out of the break, but I think it was very different versus coming off a 10-game win streak. So super stoked.
It's going to be very interesting indeed. The Red Sox open up at Chicago for 3 games, then they're in Philly for 3 games, then you host the Dodgers for 3, followed by Minnesota for another 3-game set. The Minnesota series is going to be one to watch for a couple of different reasons. But before we go into any possible discussion points on that, we're going to go over a couple of mixed bag topics. So Chris had a fun one that he wanted to talk about today. So what is our opinion of Craig Breslow going into the trade deadline? And then what could possibly change that? We have a history of being a rather honest and somewhat negative pod, but brutally honest, as we used to say whenever we opened every show. So, Chris, why don't you go first? What's your personal opinion? And then what could possibly change it?
You know, I've gone back and forth on Craig Breslow. There's obviously a lot of things I don't like, but there's been more recent things that I've supported Craig Russell on. More specifically, like, I thought it took a lot of guts to trade Rafael Devers, regardless of what your opinions are. And I think that he also got an unfair stigma and notion where it's like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't have the guts to make the move. It's like, he just traded our best player potentially the last 5 years. Didn't blink an eye. And, you know, we all questioned it, even me to a certain degree, although the more things came out, the more I supported it. I'm pretty high on Craig Breslow, which is kind of shocking. I was never a Heim Bloom guy. I was depressed when we got Craig Breslow, to be honest with you. I don't think anyone was super happy when you're going with their 12th or 13th choice that the bots basically weeded out for us. But he's done enough good to this point with this specific team. He also was dealt a pretty poor hand, a good farm system, but as far as a major league team, not the best. And I'm encouraged with what I see. Now, what can change that? We completely whiff at the trade deadline. And what I mean by that is we don't have the conviction, right? We're buying and selling at the same time, which I'm going to be super upset if we're doing that. If he takes some swings and it's the right moves, at least on paper, but maybe someone gets hurt or maybe they just don't perform as well, but he takes his shot, maybe I'll still be positive on him. Ultimately, it's going to depend on exactly who we bring in, what the ultimate result is. But I just want to see conviction. As long as he shows me true conviction and doesn't make dumb moves, I think I'm supporting Craig Breslow going into next year, regardless of the outcome of the season.
Jeremy, your thoughts on Breslow?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm starting to come around a little bit. It's kind of like a one eye open, one eye closed thing, because we have to admit to ourselves that using Teal to go out and put a package together to get Crochet, and if I'm repeating something Chris said, I had a bad connection there, so I apologize for that. That, I mean, where are we without Crochet, right? I mean, Teal, the trade of Teal has been softened by the rise of Narvaez. So, you know, it's that trade starting to look pretty good. They extended Crochet, and I'm sure Theo and management obviously had a role in that, but he's the head of baseball operations. He gets some level of credit. And I still don't know what's going to be the optics on Devers by the time he retires or his contract expires, but with some of the additional information that's come out, not from the Red Sox, because I trust nothing that comes from us, it's starting to look like he was a personality conflict in that clubhouse. And a lot of these guys, you know, are kind of coming into their own, kind of blossoming. And Rafaela, you know, obviously the rookies, but, you know, Duran's starting to show signs that he might have a pretty big second half if he's still on the team. So I'm starting to build trust. We're still in the trust building phase of how do I feel about Craig Breslow. What I think is going to send me over the top is if he goes and makes a big move. We know he can do it because he did it to go get Crochet. He can bring in a package together. He can throw in a top prospect and go get that big player that's going to make an immediate impact. He just did it in the offseason. He didn't do it under the pressure of, it's July 30th at whatever period of time, time's closing out. You got to be making tough decisions in high pressure moments. That's where I'm still a little bit concerned. So if we go out and recreate the Paxton nonsense and the two relievers from the middle of nowhere thing, getting guys that are hurt, hoping that we can buy low and they're going to, I don't want to hear any of it. I want it to be sexy. I want it to be spoken hot. I want it to be obvious on trade deadline that we got a player that immediately impacts the big league club. If he goes and does that and gives this team a chance, he might get my complete buy-in.
So basically what I'm hearing from you, Jeremy, is that you're kind of still dating. You're not feeling you want to get committed to Breslow. You're just kind of trying it out, like weekend dates. That's kind of where I'm hearing.
After the end of the month, I could go right back to I hate Craig Breslow. He's a puppet for ownership and he does a sackless, spineless, fill in the blank. Or I could be like, I think he might be the guy for the future.
And you reserve the right to change your opinion too.
I owe Charlie, I always reserve the right.
Which I know. I know this. And people are going to find this out. So I'm going to say this. I actually don't think you're going to feel that negatively about him, because for the first time in a really long time, you have a GM or president of baseball operations who is willing to make the decision that could possibly negatively impact the franchise for years to come. When the Red Sox traded Nomar, that's what Theo Epstein said. This is a trade that could potentially change the trajectory of this team for years to come if this doesn't work out. And they ended up winning the World Series 3 years later. They did the same thing. Before the season started, you got rid of Kyle Teal. I think it was Madroth was in that deal. And forget who the pitcher was. I think there was a pitcher in there too. That was a trade that was like, oh my God, we just got Crochet. Then you trade Devers and you get Kyle Harrison. You got Jordan Hicks, Tibbs, and another Bayo. So now we have two Bayos. That's another trade where a lot of people are like, oh my God. And that's only been a month. It's only been a month without Devers, which it feels like far longer. It feels like it's been a year. He's done nothing in San Francisco, remotely close to what they thought he was going to do. And honestly, that move for that player was either going to solidify and put a stamp on Posey's tenure and time in San Francisco, or it was going to be the beginning of the end for him. Because if he doesn't do well, that's going to be on him. Red Sox have their hands completely washed from that move. It would not surprise me if Breslow absolutely goes in and just blows everyone else out and says, you know what, we're going all in. It's going to come at a cost. One of the biggest names that keeps getting thrown around is Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan will not be pitching for the Boston Red Sox if they don't get something of value in return. The one name that keeps getting floated, Jaron Duran, which is heartbreaking because I really don't want to part with Jaron. I keep thinking at this point, let's just try to get people that are in expiring contracts. I don't know if we're going to get lucky with Joe Ryan. That would have to be a trade and sign for an extended period of time, like 4 or 5 years again, and he's going to get the bag thrown at him. He's doing really well for a team that's doing okay. But if he were to come, yeah, go ahead.
He has 2 years of control.
He's got 2 years of control. Jaron Duran has how many?
Three.
It's going to be hard no matter what. I'm going to struggle to part with Jaron Duran, and I will continue to support him wherever he goes. But I have no reason to believe that Breslow is going to stay pat here. I think he has every reason to go all in right now, given the fact that we just won 10 games in a row. Jeremy had mentioned worst time to have the All-Star break. You just won 10 games. It wasn't the craziest competition for all 10 games, but it doesn't matter. You don't win 10 games by accident, and the Red Sox did. So I think there's a chance that we're going to be surprised for the third time in less than 1 year. Crochet, Devers, and then another pretty big trade. Now, if the trade isn't massive and it's not monumental, am I going to go and be upset? I don't know if I'll be upset. Will I think that we're still as much of a contender if we don't bring in, you know, perhaps another bat, an elite, you know, number two or three starter? I'm not going to feel great, but I'm not going to say that this team is in trouble. I think that if Breslow ends up making more moves for the future and not this immediate year, I'll be upset. I'm not going to want to quote date anymore. I'm going to be in the, okay, swipe left, let's move on. Because you've got to go for it right now. You have to think 2025. You can't think 2026 when certain people are already out. The other thing about Breslow, when he went and got Lucas Giolito, a lot of people were like, no, this guy's injury. He's an injury. We're just waiting to happen. He's washed. He's been elite the last six starts. He's been absolutely electric. Bringing in your closer, who no one, they weren't sure if he was going to be the eighth inning guy or your ninth inning guy. He's come in and done it. Chapman has been absolutely elite, borderline best closer in all of baseball right now. So right now, my opinion of Craig Breslow is very high. Is it the best? No, but I mean, I don't think there's any GM in baseball that has like the best like outlook unless you've won 80% of your games, which no team has done. But I'm going to say right now he's had the stones to make the moves that other GMs, I would say, are probably afraid to make. So I think that as long as he stays the course, we're in good shape. Anything else that you guys want to add?
If we do go make a blockbuster trade and add money, because one of the things that's being talked about with the Ryan deal is that we take on a bad contract. And if we do, I do not want to hear Durant as part of the player package that's going back.
Same.
But if we do something like that, take on a bad contract, then I'll feel good on two levels. One, that Breslow can pull the trade off. And two, that cheap prick John Henry's actually committed to winning at least for 2025. Because one of the things that I think we should keep talking about is John Henry saved $30 million a year clearing the full Devers contract. I'm not saying he's going to spend every dollar of that in 2025, but I think us fans should feel pretty strongly that he should spend a pretty good large chunk of that. So
absolutely.
I think if they do make that type of deal, we're all going to feel good about Breslow, and we all might start talking about John Henry, and I might have to stop calling him a cheap prick. So
you might have to, and
we'll see.
That's kind of G-rated. We'll see. Chris, anything else you want to add for your point?
Side point. I'll ask you both. Do you think that there is a specific record that they have to go in the next 9 games that automatically triggers them full buy mode?
I think if they're 5-4, 4-5, their games above 500 obviously aren't going to change. They're going to be right in the mix. They I don't know if they'll still hold the second wild card, but maybe the third. They'll be within a game of a playoff spot. As long as you're there, you got to put your chips in the middle and go, is my opinion.
So I'll say this much. We're 3 games out right now. We're the hottest team in baseball. Toronto is one of the hottest teams in baseball. The Yankees are only going the wrong direction. So I think worst case scenario, we're probably finding ourselves in second place. You add a couple pieces, you could challenge Toronto. I don't know how difficult of a schedule Toronto has. I think they're in buy mode. I really do, because who is the last team to win 10 games in a season? I honestly can't remember. I'm not looking at the numbers and I'm not looking at people's schedules.
The Blue Jays recently just won 8. So I think that's
the most recent long streak. Who won 10? 10's insane. 8's also pretty darn good.
It's, you know, probably the Tigers last year.
Might have been. I honestly don't remember. Gun in my head, I'm not going to guess. But you got the two of the hottest teams in baseball that are really starting to boom at the right time. They didn't peak in April. We're starting to get hot in July, and it's going to be warm baseball for the next like 2 months. So this is great. I'm not complaining about this at all. I don't think it's a certain number of wins. I really think it's a feeling, and I think that's what they've been doing, is just feeling. Devers, the team was, we just won 6 games, and they traded Devers because it wasn't because we were losing so many games. It was a feeling. He didn't want to be here. There was problems and chaos in the clubhouse. He's gone. That's it. I think it's a feeling. There's an emotional aspect and piece to this that people may not want to consider or think about, but that's part of it right now. I think if we win the next 5-6 games, for example, how do you not buy?
Well, you know, no, if they win the next 5 or 6 games and we're on a 15-16 game winning streak, we might one be in first place. But that, you know, I think the 10 game winning streak in and of itself is going to put us in a position to, and the pitching's been too good. Crochet, I don't see a significant slide with a true ace on the hill. I mean, back in the Pedro days, for those of us that are old enough to remember, when the things start going the wrong way, Curt Schilling was like this too. They went in and they had their best starts in those moments that put an end to it and start spinning it in the other direction. We have a legitimate top of the rotation, every team wants him kind of guy, and an ace. And he's not just an ace from a stuff perspective. It's his mindset. It's his leadership. It's his toughness. And so if you do lose some games in front of his start, I have full trust in that player that he's going to completely shove for 6, 7, maybe 8 innings and essentially just go buy you a win. And so I just don't see a prolonged losing streak coming. Obviously, that means the Red Sox will probably do it. I kid, of course, but you know, the concern isn't for me for the pitching right now. It's just the young bats, and as hot as they've been, as good as Rafael has been and all of it, they're young guys, man. There are key players in that lineup that are still young. And I know he doesn't look like it. He doesn't act like it. He doesn't walk like it, talk like it. But Narvaez is a rookie too.
crazy.
So Narvaez, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Rafael is the second year player. Like Toro's, I don't know that he's, I don't think he's a rookie by performance, but he hasn't, it's not like he's a 3-4-5 year vet. I mean, Abreu's his second year. Guys, our roster is so young. That's my concern.
I hear it.
But I don't think we're going to shut off offensively. I don't think that this team's going to shut off offensively. So I'm not expecting a prolonged losing streak.
I don't think so either, especially when you have veteran leadership like Alex Bregman in there with the rookies in the corner working on their swings and trying to tailor stuff. I don't think so either. Devers, I don't believe, was doing that. Bregman was injured and trying to earn his paycheck in a different way. Couldn't hit. He's helping the rookies. So with that, we're going to move to Jeremy's point. Jeremy, what is your expectation for Sadon Rafaela, one of the hottest things next to sliced bread, who just so happens to be playing baseball for the Boston Red Sox? Jeremy, as this was yours, why don't you lead us off?
Well, I think you're probably expecting me to talk about offensively, but just as a reminder, right before the All-Star break, they kept Marcelo Meyer up. He's going to play second base. And they actually demoted Hamilton. So I'm going to start defensively. And I'm going to say that Rafael is not only going to be a plus-plus defender in center field, he's going to be a great above-average middle infielder, whether he's playing second or spelling Story at short. That's the one thing that I feel just the most, I just feel so strongly about. He's such a good defender. He's such a spectacular athlete for a baseball player. I know it's not ideal. We all want him in center field, but he's so athletic. He's so dynamic defensively. I look forward to the games where he's actually playing out of position and in those other spots up the middle in the infield. So I have zero question about that. I think this is a player that is not going to regress to what he was last year. He's not going to be as good as he was in July. And you know, his OPS is, I think, 1300, Charlie, you have these stats and he's slugging, you know, 900
for the month of July. Yeah. His OPS is 1300.
I mean, water always find its level. I just think his new level is higher than it was. So I expect him out of the nine hole and moved up in the lineup where he can slug and drive in runs. I expect him to be somebody that we can expect some power from. So I could envision him maybe in the sixth hole and hitting 250 to 260 and getting another 10 bombs on the year with some doubles. I think the slug is going to come down tremendously because it's just so high. But I mean, I think like a high 700 OPS is a real expectation from that player, given how his abilities, his skill set, his athleticism. So that's my position. I just think water always finds its level, but Rafaela has a new level.
Certainly does. Surging. Chris, why don't you go next?
Yeah, so I agree with Jeremy. I think Rafael, I mean, listen, we talked a lot about him on yesterday's show, and he's top five in every offensive statistic for this team, and he's top three in most of them. I think about the play going into the second half of this, or I should say the break, where he went to go dive for that ball, right, and showed his athleticism. He missed it, but he leaped up like Spider-Man and still picked off the guy going third, right? Like, there's not many guys who could, number one, try and lay out for that ball, and then if they miss it, roll over it, get up, spring up, and still throw a guy out with an absolute dart. So, I mean, he's a special player defensively. I agree with Jeremy that, yeah, I mean, he's on a Kike Hernandez 2021 Rays series run where, like, literally every at-bat, he's making great contact. He's smacking either over the monster or into the monster, and it's generally with people on base, and he's driving in a ton of runs. So, I mean, you look at his career stats every other season, he's going to surpass his home run. He's going to smash it. I think he's probably, to your point, Jeremy, going to finish with about 25, right? I don't think that's unrealistic at this point with 14. He's more than 2/3 of his waves RBI total. I think he's going to by far set all career highs. And he's been one of those players throughout his career. He's never been terrible and he's never been really good. And his Achilles heel was always strikeouts. And he's cleaned that up. I think he's, outside of Alex Bregman, of all the players that we have offensively, he's number two with the least amount of strikeouts with 200 bats or more.
Didn't know that.
Huh?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, the only reason Bregman has less is he's missed 6 weeks. Let's be honest.
Right.
Otherwise, he'd probably be leading that category, Raffaello.
So the one thing about Sadon Raffaello, like, what is the ceiling with Sadon? You're absolutely right. He's going to exceed the expectation and exceed the numbers of what he's done in the past. He had 15 homers last year. He's at 14. 23 doubles last year. He's at 21. RBIs, like you said, he's two-thirds of the way there. Stolen bases, he's probably going to exceed that. His batting average is already almost 30 points higher. The one thing that is frustrating, and I know Terry has brought this up, so he's here in spirit, I feel, he doesn't draw walks. And I think part of it is the fact that he's got this just this scrappy mentality of, I've got to get a hit. I have to get a single. I have to get a double. But that game that you're talking about, Chris, he almost had the catch, had the wherewithal to get the ball, throw Aranda, I think it was out at third, before the runner scored.
Yep.
And he hits a two-run homer in the sixth inning of that game. We're winning games because of Sadon Raffaello. His OPS of 1300 is, you know, it's like Aaron Judge. It's like insane. That's not going to stay. As Jeremy said, you know, Water will find a level. He has found a new level and he's doing really, really well. And we should highlight that and really celebrate that. I would love to see Sadon be like a 25-90 guy, like a 25-25 with 90 RBIs. That'd be awesome. If he could hit 285, draw, I don't know, 50 walks, 25 homers, 90 RBIs, 30, 35 doubles. Dude, that's an all-star every year if he can do that. He should have been an all-star this year, but the problem was all of his numbers came in the last like month and a half. In the month of May, he only had a home run, 5 RBIs, was hitting just over the Mendoza line. He wasn't an impact player, and that was one of the players that we needed to actually be there because – like Jaron Duran, when he does well, the team does well. And Sadon doesn't bat first or second. He finds himself batting eighth or ninth, almost like a secondary leadoff guy. And he's doing a really, really good job. My ceiling for him, and I would really love this to be the case, this contract, by the way, chef's kiss thing of beauty. I mean, he is going to far surpass and exceed what his value is as far as that contract is concerned. This was like an Atlanta Braves contract. You're getting $50 million for a six or seven years, and the guy's going to mash like 50 home runs. Sadon's not going to do that, but he is going to exceed everybody's expectations as to what he can do, and he's doing it. You know, could he hit 30 home runs? I don't know. I kind of thought 30 home runs, 100 RBIs was going to be Willie Abreu, and that could still probably happen with him. Anything else you guys want to add? No. Chris, third point. This one's going back to you. If and when the Red Sox get to the playoffs, who are your 1, 2, 3? And then who becomes your high leverage relievers? You already got your closer pretty much locked down, but why don't you go first?
Yeah, it's tough, obviously, because the trade deadline is going to play a huge role in this. I mean, if we get Joe Ryan, that changes everything. If we get another high leverage reliever, that's going to change everything. But let's just assume, for the sake of this argument, we don't. Currently, obviously, number one is going to be Crochet. I'm between Giolito and Bale. I probably go Giolito 2 at this point, and I'm probably going Bale 3 at this point as far as my 1, 2, 3. And then as far as the relievers, yeah, Chapman's locked up. I would like to see Whitlock kind of be that eighth inning guy. I think really the seventh inning is where things get interesting because we have a ton of different candidates internally that could fill that position, especially if Tanner Houck becomes a reliever, right? Like, we don't know exactly what that could potentially be because he's done that in the past and he's had some success with it, even though he's been reluctant to want to do it in some cases. But a guy like even Jordan Hicks, I know he hasn't done it much, but he's come in a couple of times already for the Sox. High leverage situations against AL East opponents and in the middle of a 10-game win streak. And he's had some success. So, I mean, if he could become that, I mean, think about how much more positive the outlook on the Devers trade looks. If this is a playoff team this year and he has some sort of role where he's a setup to the setup in that seventh inning.
So obviously the Crochet starts game one, especially if you can lock up your seating and kind of match it up. I'm Bayo too. I think Bayo's upside, I don't know that we've even seen it yet, his ceiling. Giolito is not going to get better than what he's been. I think he's another guy that's going to fall back to the median. And I think he's going to give you a chance to win, you know, but I have concerns about the innings coming off the significant layoff and the injury. And so my expectation as I sit here right now is that it's going to be Bayo we're going to be counting on for that second spot. And then obviously I'd go Giolito. One thing that I'd like to see change is Buehler start pitching well and get his hat in the mix, just because he has the pedigree in the background to be good in those moments. But as we sit here right now, that's my three. In the bullpen, obviously it's Chapman. I agree. I love Whitlock in those moments. And also, let's stop throwing him in multiple innings. He's so much more effective when he just has one inning, one clean inning. And if you're doing that consistently, I think you're going to get the best version of that player and you're going to keep him healthy. And there's going to be so much that changes, including my opinion on this. But for right now, just because I know he's Alex Cora's guy, it's Weissert. I don't want him to be there at the end of the year. This is one of the reasons why the trade deadline is so important, in my opinion, is this spot right here. I'd like to see Weissert in a different role. And Alex Cora disagrees with me, because those are the moments that he's put in the game and he's done a pretty good job. He struggles with command. He throws too many pitches that aren't competitive, you know, where it's like 2 feet outside and he's like falling off the mound, and it's just, it doesn't help set anything else up when you're not close. But he's the guy that's getting those innings now. And unless there's Breslow goes and adds some arms, or somebody out there develops into that high leverage guy, as far as that amount of leverage, seventh inning leverage, I think Weissert's the guy.
So I think, you know, the 2-3, and I've said this before, you already got your one. There's no discussion. You already have your closer. There's also no discussion. I think Giolito is more to play for, and I'm going to put him into the two based on experience over Bayo. He's been here a little bit longer. And Buehler is the X factor. If he can turn that back and with all this extra rest, come back and be elite as your four, oh my God. Good luck, Major League Baseball, because that could be a really, really nice rotation. 1, 2, 3, 4. You got starters that are going quality starts, you know, almost every game. You got two starters who've gotten complete games. So your entire bullpen that is significantly overtaxed. I don't want to see Brandon Bernardino for like another 2 weeks. These guys need vacations. They need breaks. It was not working for some of these guys. I want Jordan Hicks to take a step up. I want him to be another elite guy in the pen. Whitlock, I don't want to see pitching two innings plus. I'm over that. Weissert, though, I'm kind of curious, Jeremy. You mentioned that, you know, you're not sure where he's going to fit. The one name that I still miss, and I'm sad that we traded him, was Sean Newcomb. And when Sean Newcomb, if you look at his numbers, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts over the last month, he's had just one bad blip in the last 9-10 appearances. He's been great. And I wonder what this bullpen would have liked if he never left. If Sean Newcomb was here and we didn't have, you know, either Slayton or Weissert,
it's tough to Monday morning quarterback those things, because a change in circumstances, a change in scenery does have an effect on guys. We see it all the time.
Sure.
It's one of the reasons why teams swap trash for trash, and then one team winds up having a guy that, you know, is serviceable again.
Sure.
Yeah. So the only other thing I'll say, Charlie and Chris, is there's one guy that I think is going to play a factor in the playoffs out of the bullpen, because I think his max effort stuff is going to play, especially if he's not required thinking going into the day that he's got to start and get the 5 or 6 innings. And that's Richard Fitz. I think that if this and I know that's not the question, but I'm ruining the question a little bit. I like him in that role, a high leverage place where he, you know, if he's touching 98, 99 starting, he can come in and say, hey, Richard, you got one inning, max velo, and he's living high 90s like that. I think he can be a little bit of a swing and miss guy in a high leverage spot.
Yeah, you kind of just stole my thunder.
My bad.
God willing, we get another arm, right? Even if it's not a two, but just someone that we could really trust towards the top end of this rotation going to the playoffs if we make it. Think about our offense, right? We're in a place now where there's so much flexibility defensively from the hitters, but now the pitching staff. If we get another starter to this, like you just said, Charlie, like if Walker Buehler turns us around, we don't even need another one. But if we do get one, you add Walker Buehler to the back end of that, to your point, Jeremy, Richard Fitz, think about extra inning games in the playoffs. Happens all the time as of recently, especially when they've added the extra wild card. You're not having a ghost runner. These games aren't going 10, 11 innings sometimes. They'll go 13, 14. You're going to need guys that can kind of stretch out these games. If one of these guys gets touched early, right, in a playoff game, you might have to pull them out. If you have a Walker Buehler or Richard Fitz that you could just throw in there that you know can eat innings, like think about what that does for us and the flexibility that presents itself.
Yeah, and to your point, Chris, there's just a quicker hook in the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, we're not getting these Buehler starts where he's still allowed to give up five runs in the first inning. You give up two or three runs in the first inning, you're getting the hook, you're resetting, trying to keep it at two or three, and you're finding a way to get through the game so the offense has time to get back in the game. It's just managed differently, and that's a good point, Chris. I agree with that.
Yeah, we're going to see. We got some exciting games ahead of us, just 24, not even 24 hours away until we get to see baseball again. Like you, Jeremy, like you, Chris, I am so happy, and I cannot wait for pregame. Anything else you gents want to add?
Go Sox.
Yeah, go Sox.
We'll leave it on that note. Everyone, have a great one. Take care.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.